Well, welcome once again, fellow Biblical Explorer. So good to have you with us today. And we're continuing our study in this episode of Table Talks to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to continue our study there. And this week, we're looking at chapter 3. Let's get busy. And we're going to be looking at chapter 3 and what God is saying to us and what we need to be doing to get busy in the work that God has called us to do. So, if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your Bible that your Bible apps and your favorite cup of coffee, let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to read together. We're going to be reading together from the NIV version. So sit back, relax, because this is a long chapter with a long lot of difficult names. So let's read together from the NIV version. It says this: Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hanel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. Now the fish gate was rebuilt by the son of Hanasseh. They relaid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hekaz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulim, son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Benah, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshuan gate was repaired by Jodiah, son of Pesha, and Meshulim, son of Bezodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by the men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon and Jedon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of the Trans-Euphrates. Uzziah, son of Harkaliah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next sections, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Repaliah, son of Hur, ruler of the half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Harumph, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattash, son of Hashabaniah, made repairs next to him. Mechalajah, son of Harim, and Hashabub, son of Parath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Haloesh, ruler of the half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. The Valley Gate was repaired by Harun and the residents of Zanoah. They rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 500 yards of the wall as far as the Dung Gate. Now the Dung Gate was repaired by Mechalajah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakerem. He rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Now the Fountain Gate was repaired by Shalom, son of Kol-Hoze, ruler of the district of Mizpah. He rebuilt it, roofing it over and putting its doors and bolts and bars in place. He also repaired the wall of the Pool of Siloam by the king's garden as far as the steps going down from the city of David. Beyond him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, ruler of the half-district of Beth-Zur, made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David as far as the artificial pool and the house of the heroes. Now, next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Benai. Beside him, Hashabiah, ruler of the half-district of Kelai, carried out the repairs for his district. Next to him, the repairs were made by their countrymen under Benoi, son of Henadad, ruler of the other half-district of Kelai. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section from a point facing the ascent to the armory as far as the angle. Now, next to him, Baruch, son of Zebiah, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakaz, repaired another section from the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. The repairs next to him were made by the priests from the surrounding region. Beyond there, Benjamin and Hashab made repairs in front of their house, and next to them, Haziah, son of Manasseh, son of Hanakai, made repairs beside his house. Next to him, Benai, son of Hadanat, repaired another section from Azariah's house to the angle and the corner. And Palal, son of Uzziah, worked opposite the angle and the tower projecting from the upper palace near to the court of the guard. Next to him, Pedaiah, son of Parash, and the temple servants living on the high hill of Ophia, made repairs to a point opposite the water gate towards the east and the projecting tower. Next to him, the men of Tekoa repaired another section from the great projecting tower to the wall of Ophrael. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the house of the eastern gate, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, son of Shelaniah, and Harum, the sixth son of Zalpath, repaired another section. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Bechaniah, also made repairs opposite his living quarters. Next to him, Mechaliah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and the merchants opposite the inspection gate, and as far as the room above the corner. And between the room above the corner, the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and merchants made repairs. Well, my goodness, my friends, I probably butchered those names, and I'm so glad that God is the keeper of names in His Word. And we just praise God for what He is doing. Well, we're looking at Nehemiah, and we've seen in chapter 1 that Nehemiah was a man of burden and a man of prayer. And in chapter 2, this man of burden becomes a man of preparation in the palace, and then at the ruined wall. Well, now, today, we're looking at chapter 3, Nehemiah's action. He's now a man of action, a man rebuilding. Action involves everyone. A number of years ago, Major Roland Murphy and I were called up on a devastating scene where a man lost his home through a fire. He was left with virtually nothing. About a few minutes into the scene, a number of people started to gather and arrive. Now, besides the fire department, of course, the Salvation Army, there were family and friends and neighbors who showed up. Even though it seemed that this person had nothing left, there were very real signs of support. This man would have to rebuild. He would have to rebuild walls that had been devastated by fire and were now too weak to support any kind of structure he would wish to build there. If he wanted to experience the warmth of a home again, he would have to rebuild. He would have to repair. Well, let's look for a moment at this third chapter of Nehemiah. Chapter 3, to which we come to this morning, is one of those chapters that appears to be consisting largely of unpronounceable names. Tell me about it. And long-forgotten people. When you are reading through your Bible, it may be a little discouraged to come upon, a chapter like this, but it tells the story of the work of repairing the gates and walls of Jerusalem, which Nehemiah had been sent there by King Artaxerxes of Persia to do. He first aroused the people to do the work, and this chapter tells how that work was actually accomplished. One commentator has said, God is a great believer in putting names down. That's very true. There are chapters like this all throughout the scriptures, but this should really encourage us and our hearts today. It means that God has not forgotten our names either. He loves to record the names of obscure people. He may be writing your name down in some great book right now that others will read in times to come. The workers are beginning to build, and over 40 times we have this word mentioned in the book, repairing. And as you read down through chapter 3, for instance, just take verse 8, just as an example, you'll find this word over and over and over again. Next to him, repaired. And next to him, the goldsmith. Next to him, also repaired. Repaired, repaired, and repaired. Right through this chapter. And indeed, it's the theme of this book. The children of Israel are fortifying the walls that have been broken down. They're repairing the walls and the gates of Jerusalem that were important for the protection of God's people. The central teaching of this chapter is this. In repairing, rebuilding, putting lives back together, we need and must seek help from each other. We can't do it alone. This is a great chapter about cooperation. It illustrates the New Testament truth concerning the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and other chapters teach us believers that in Christ we are part of the worldwide body, made up of many members. We belong to each other, and so we are to help one another and bear one another's burdens. This is portrayed very dramatically throughout this chapter. And this chapter is too long for us to read in detail, but if you'll follow with me, we'll discover four important principles for working together. We learn from the New Testament there are two things that you cannot say any longer when you become a Christian. The first is, you do not need me. Everyone in the body of Christ needs somebody else. We are all part of that body. We need each other. Now, the second thing is, I do not need you. You do need others. It's the awareness of that truth that makes a church a living, warm, vital, loving fellowship. And I hope we are finding this out more and more and more. Now, during the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the gates and the walls and what they meant to the people of that day and the meaning for our lives today. We will look at the importance of keeping a repair of the gates and walls in our own lives. Now, gates in Scripture are means of access and egress. They represent ways of entering into other people's lives and also letting them into ours, of reaching out to others and allowing them to share our thinking and feeling. And as we go through this chapter together, we shall look into particular at each of these gates in Jerusalem, because each designates a particular quality of the life that we need. 2 Peter says this, For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. This exhortation to add certain qualities to our behavior is a marvelous explanation of what it means to repair the gates of our own lives. And as we do so, we will no longer be unfruitful and unproductive. The book of Nehemiah, therefore, is a picture in the Old Testament terms of someone who is restoring the walls and gates of his or her own life. Before we do that, I want to skim through this chapter at this point and briefly point out some of the principles that are working together as we find them. Here's the first one. In summoning the people of Jerusalem to rebuild their walls and their gates, we learn from this chapter that all the people were involved in that project. Everybody's involved. The whole city gave itself over for a period of 52 days to building the walls and the gates. Now, that portrays for us a very important principle of the New Testament, that the ministry of the church in the world today belongs to everybody in the congregation. Once people thought that only the pastor and the hired staff were there to do the work of evangelizing, teaching, preaching, counseling, healing the hurts of others, and serving the needy. Because we've followed that practice far too long, the church is in trouble all over the world. But the ministry belongs to the whole congregation. That is what we see demonstrated for us in this third chapter. For instance, look at verses 1 and 2. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priest went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set the doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hanel, the men of Jericho built the adjoining section. Notice that everybody here is involved. The priests began the work. That may encourage some to think that preachers never do anything except work on Sundays. And with them, then the Levites also worked. A number of rulers also mentioned, two men, each of whom ruled half the city of Jerusalem, and getting their hands dirty, working on these walls. There were gatekeepers, guards, farmers, even perfume makers. They were involved in the work. I don't know what they did. Their hands were probably pretty soft, but nevertheless, they worked on the walls. There were jewelers, pharmacists, merchants, and temple servants. And women were directly involved, even as we see in verse 12 points out, Shalem, son of Halohesh, ruler of half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters, Nehemiah 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Now, probably the wives of these workers did what women mostly have done throughout the centuries. They cooked food, served meals, and kept the men at work. But here were women who were working right along with the men. It's encouraging to see the demonstration of equality even in those days. All of them, by the way, were volunteers. Nobody was conscripted to do this, and no one was paid for their work. It's a long list of volunteers here like that. Some were residents of Jerusalem, and some came from the surrounding cities of Jericho, Tekoa, Mizpah, and outlying villages of Judea. So it is also in the body of Christ. We are all encouraged in the ministry. I do not know any truth more important for the accomplishing of God's work than that. You and I are involved in the ministry together. I have always believed that if you've been saved by grace and you call yourself a Christian by the name of Christ, you are called into the ministry. And every one of us is to do the work that God has called us to do. Yet in church after church, it is difficult to get people to understand that. You have the great privilege of reaching out in your own neighborhood and doing the work of the ministry there. Where churches do not understand that one finds a very distorted condition. People do not know what to do religiously. They have no ministry of their own and therefore little excitement or interest in life. Someone has well described them in a little jingle that says this. The pastor is late. He has forgotten the date. And what will the people do, poor things? Well, they'll sit in the pew with nothing to do, and they'll sing a collection of hymns, poor things. Oh, I'm so afraid that describes many churches today. Now, the second principle that emerges from this chapter is they all worked together. All through this account, you will find the phrase, well, next to him, next to them, worked so-and-so, and the next to them worked others, and they took not only of the workers, but also the shirkers, however. Verse 5 says of the men of Tekoa, their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work on their supervisors. Well, did you know that God records the names of goof-offs, too? When you will not take up your ministry, God puts your name down in that column as well. But the rest all worked and worked together. They helped one another. Nehemiah had so much marvelously organized this that each one had a section of the wall or a gate assigned to him or them or her, and some exceeded the work as they had been given. Look for an instance at verse 13. The valley gate was repaired by Hanum and the residents of Zanoah. They also repaired 500 yards of the wall as far as the dung gate, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 13. Note the also, that word. They exceeded their allotment and went on to help somebody else to extend of the repairing of 500 yards of the wall. An enormous section, probably much of it was still standing, but needed little repair, but still, it was a lot of work. You'll find another mention of the men who did their work and then repaired another section, helping others. Then the third principle of cooperation is this. They work near their home. Look at verse 10. Jedidiah made repairs opposite his house. And in verse 23 tells of certain men who made repairs in front of their house. Verse 30 also mentions a man by the name of Meshulam, son of Berechiah, who made repairs opposite his living quarters. A chamber is the word there. Man was apparently a bachelor. He had an apartment, but he had no family. Nevertheless, he worked right where he was. The important truth that emerges here is that this is God's design for ministry. Your ministry, my ministry. God has placed us all strategically where He wants us to be. Your neighborhood, your office, or home, well, that is where your ministry is. That is where your ministry should be. And that is why God put you there, especially now in the times of COVID-19. The times of shutdowns, restrictions, and attendance. God has placed you right where He needs you and right where He's called you to the work that He's called you to do. That is why God put you there. In John 15, Jesus said to His disciples that He had appointed them, and the word means strategically placed them. He had put them in the place where He wanted them to be. And this is brought out beautifully here as we watch these people laboring in their own neighborhood. Now, the fourth principle found here is each one completed his or her assigned task. They kept on until they had finished the work. Some had more to do than others, but no one failed except the nobles of Tekoa who would not even dirty their hands. Donette and I have always lived by the belief that we could never ask someone else to do something that we would not consider doing ourselves. And we find ourselves in this line of thinking. We've experienced seeing the washing of floors, the cleaning of walls and dishes. But at the same time studying God's word for the purpose of preaching and teaching. Now, as we've done this and these tasks, we've noticed that others are more willing to come alongside for the tasks at hand. Then together, we all work to complete the job. In our next study together, we will spend the rest of our time looking in specific detail of the work that they were doing. As we've seen, building a wall and restoring its gates is an illuminating portrayal of a life that is rebuilt from ruin. You may be hurting right now in some area where you're exposed to peril, some habit that maybe you've picked up. You may have a burned gate or a destroyed wall where evil has access to your heart. You can be easily invaded and upset quickly. This account reveals the areas which you will need to rebuild if you want to find deliverance, peace, and safety. Where are you now in your own life journey today? Is it a time for a do-over, a rebuild, a repair? This is your moment to start. Reach out to Jesus, the Master Builder, and He will get you started. The first step is to ask Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, and you can do that right now by praying this prayer with me. Let's pray together. Almighty God, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge my need for forgiveness right now, and I ask Jesus to forgive my sins and to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. I acknowledge Jesus now as the Lord of my life and pledge to serve Him for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for this gift of eternal life this morning. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this morning, if you've prayed that prayer, we would love to connect with you. Go to our website at sawhitby.ca, and there you'll find a place where you can leave a comment or a prayer request. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for you. May God bless you today, and have a great and glorious week.